welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of May 19th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, sleepy, and another year older, Melissa Hansen.
I am. We talked about it last week that I was going to be not just old, but really old this week. And I am, and I realized I'm too old to stay out till like 1 in the morning.
Oh, boy.
I'm like dead the next day. I was talking about it. Like, my early 20s, I could stay out till like 3 a.m., you know, get drunk, and like sleep in but be fine the next day. And then like early 30s, I could stay out till 3 a.m. drinking, but it like was on my ass for the whole next day. And now that I'm like early 40s, I'm like midnight. It's my pumpkin time.
We don't bounce back like we used to.
Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah.
So, did you manage to squeeze in some entertainment this past week?
I did.
Yes.
So much fun. Richardson, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas.
Okay.
Wildflower Festival, which has nothing to do with plants.
Okay.
It's a music fest.
Ah.
You know, a bunch of stages and all different kinds of acts. Throughout the day, it's like a Friday night, and then all day and night Saturday, and then a Sunday afternoon. So saw some, like, that I was thinking, like, 10 years ago, and then, of course, they're saying, like, this was our hit 20 years ago.
Oh, boy.
But Fastball, Vertical Horizon, and then the lead singer of Live.
Uh-huh.
Not the whole band.
All right.
That was fun kind of stuff. Got to listen to a little bit of Loverboy, and Kool and the Gang, and Joan Jett. Yeah, it was fun. It was really nice. I've been to like Summerfest Milwaukee, which is huge, and Lollapalooza in Chicago, which is huge.
Yeah.
And Friday Night, I was thinking, the nice thing about this is not so big.
Okay.
And kind of see, and then Saturday night, like the main stage.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't even get near unless you got there hours before.
Oh, boy.
And kind of camped out. Like, so Joan Jett, I listened to Joan Jett. I did not even get to see Joan Jett.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to stand on, like, the sidewalk. Back. So, but, yeah, it's kind of the same thing with any fest. There's somebody you really want to see. You want to get there, like, three acts before.
Right.
And, you know, kind of camp out.
Yeah.
But, no, it was fun. And there's a band I hadn't heard of before, the Soft White 60s.
Huh.
Which is a slightly weird name. So good.
Wow.
And it does have a little bit of the 60s vibe to it, but yeah, that's one I hadn't heard of and just like, well, let's go check them out. And it was really great.
Yeah.
That was fun. And it's a Journey cover band.
Yeah.
Called Infinite Journey. And they're Dallas based. And I'm going to like look them up and probably go see them again. They were really excellent.
You become a groupie, huh?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And then there was this thing called the Rod Experience, and it was a Rod Stewart impersonator, but the band is all people who have played with Rod Stewart.
Oh, cool.
Like, on a lot of, like, 80s stuff, toured with him, you know, did multiple albums with him. So that was really cool, and I hadn't realized that before going into it.
Yeah.
And so that was really neat. Amazing musicians that, you know, some of the songs they played, they like recorded the original.
Yeah.
So that was very cool to see.
Nice.
Here. So it's a fun weekend.
Good.
But yeah, I'm like, I need another nap.
Yeah. All right. Quick question. Best summer music festival you ever attended?
Well, Lollapalooza is just so big and huge and in Chicago and great. But here's the difference,
what?
Too. I mean, obviously, I live here in Dallas, so I didn't have to travel anywhere.
Right.
But this 3-day, $30.
Shut up.
Lollapalooza is now like $230, and now I think it's closer to like $250.
Damn.
For tickets for that. Yeah, it was like $20 a day for single tickets, and then it was like $30 for a 3-day pass beforehand.
Wow.
So, yeah, you can't beat that. And there were some, like, you know, other bands. Like, we didn't go Sunday. We had other stuff going on. But, like, Lone Star for you country fans.
Oh, all right.
I mean, they had big stuff. And Cheap Trick was the big Saturday night. But it didn't, again, but it was already, like, so incredibly packed.
Okay.
kind of thing. Like I said, we had stuff going on Sunday. Show didn't stay that late. But, and I was saying to me, like, at this point, like, I'd rather just one day pass, go Friday night where it's not as busy.
Yeah.
And just, like, go from 6 to, you know, midnight the whole time and see everything.
Yeah.
But, no, so it's a fun one. And, like I said, there's, yeah. And Sunday, the thing I didn't get to see, they had a tribute band on one of the stages, or bands, like, all day.
Yeah.
They had, like, a Zeppelin and Def Leppard and, you know, the Smiths.
Oh, jeez.
Tribute bands, which would have been fun to see, so.
Well, for me, it's a tie. I have to say, the very first Lilith Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Was phenomenal.
Lilith Fair, that was, like, pretty cool.
Yeah. And then Farm Aid.
Oh, yeah. How did Farm Aid. Never mind. I don't know. Well, yeah, those are one-day ones.
I
was thinking, like, the bigger.
Yeah.
Longer stuff. Yeah, Farm Aid is always amazing.
Yeah.
That is, yeah, and that one travels around
like, right.
to different places every year. But that's amazing. Yeah, you get like John Mellencamp and Willie Nelson and Neil Young.
Dave Matthews.
That's like kind of the board for it. But then like, oh yeah, they do, you know, up and coming.
Los Lobos. And.
But then they go back and do like Arlo Guthrie.
Yep. John Mayer and Buddy Guy were at that one.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. It's like just amazing acts at Farm Aid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. If that's ever in your town, you're going to want to go catch that.
No doubt.
So.
The movie that has shaken the box office this weekend, I got to go see. I actually went, Dave Johnson and I went Saturday morning and caught the matinee of Godzilla, Gojira. And we both walked away amazingly impressed.
Really?
Yes. Like, completely blown away by how Gareth Edwards crafted this subtle but effective homage to the 60s, and yet still brought it forward. And it wasn't an overly CGI experience.
Okay,
it was very
really.
Human-based, and when the monsters did fight... He did this great thing where he would show part of a fight as a clip on television or part of a fight as through the eyes of a person on the ground, but only enough that you could just see some of it and then save the big battle for the end. Now, I'm not going to spoil anything because this is a movie that you want to go into with as little information as possible.
Okay.
Because the journey itself is as fascinating as what ultimately transpires.
Okay.
The way they... marketed in the trailer, it's a monster attacks Tokyo and, you know, the army comes out to fight it. That is not what the story is at all.
Okay.
There's far more to the story. It's beautifully layered. When you think the story is going one way, it kind of turns on its heels and goes another. The characterizations were fantastic. David Strathairn plays kind of the military commander with a heart. With a brain and a heart as opposed to, we need to, you know...
Yeah.
Do this. The one thing that struck me at the end, though, so Aaron Taylor Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen play husband and wife in this.
Okay.
And they're playing brother and sister in Avengers 2.
All right. Then.
Which was just weird. And I didn't notice it while the movie was going on. And then I got to the end and I'm like, oh, crap. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
But
it can be.
No, this is a movie well worth seeing. I think it's going to be the movie to beat this summer.
It's getting varied reviews.
And this is what surprises me.
They're all over the place.
You know, Eric posted on Facebook this morning to say I wanted to like it more than I did. And I'm like, really? Because Dave and I and Bill Gibran, who also writes for us, all had very similar feelings. Pat Noggle hated it.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's all over.
Yeah.
Like either really loved it or pretty much hated it.
So I'm very curious if this movie, you know, Patrick and those guys just turned in their podcast today, which we'll post probably tomorrow. But I'm very curious to hear those opinions because Patrick didn't like the movie very much either.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
You guys are so varied on what you think.
And I'm very curious to see how much they knew about the story going into it as opposed to going into it without any information.
Changes your view.
Exactly.
Yeah. Could be. Okay.
So, but the big bitch did make a big splash at the box office, didn't she?
Yes. $93 million this weekend for Godzilla. Yeah.
And this is a family-friendly movie. There's not blood and guts. Like Dave said, there. I don't even think there's any swearing in it.
Okay.
It's a great monster movie, summer, you know, blockbuster, but it's safe for the kids.
Okay. Wow. All right. Then we go to number two. Mm-hmm. With Neighbors, $26
million. Okay.
Bit of a drop there. Spider-Man, $17 million. Million Dollar Arm, opening weekend, came in fourth with $11
million. Family-friendly counter-programming.
Disney, John Hamm, baseball movie. Yeah. Baseball. Number five, The Other Woman, $6.3
million. All right.
So, it's hanging in there. You know, number-wise, but...
Yeah, and Heaven for Real is still hanging in there as well. Another $4 million. So, go figure. This next week, it's been nothing but comic book kind of pop culture movies so far this summer. X-Men Days of Future Past opens next week, which is going to give Godzilla a run for its money, but I think the monsters are going to stay on top.
Okay.
We shall see. The other two movies, Blended, which is the Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore comedy...
Didn't they shoot this, like, a long time ago?
A long time ago.
I remember hearing about this, like, quite a while ago.
And then there's a movie which is probably going to make a very brief appearance in the theaters before going to DVD and video on demand, and The Angriest Man in Brooklyn, which is kind of a comedic take on the classic DOA, where a guy finds out he only has a short amount of time to live.
Yeah.
And he has to, well, it's Robin Williams, and Peter Dinklage, and Mila Kunis, and Richard Kind. So he finds out he has a brain aneurysm, but he's pressuring his doctor, Mila Kunis, for how much time he has left.
Uh-huh.
And she sees the cover of this magazine that says 90 minutes, and she tells him that. So he tries to run around town and reconcile with everybody in an hour and a half.
Okay, then.
Wah, wah, wah.
Mm-hmm.
Cue the laugh track. Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, George Clooney's Monuments Men, which was supposed to be released earlier than it was. It made a very brief appearance in the theater, and now it's...
Yeah, that didn't do so great.
No. But they're treasure hunters in World War II, trying to recover the stolen Nazi gold and artwork and all the stuff that they amassed. Kevin Costner's 3 Days to Kill, which also got kind of varied opinions on how effective it was. Pompeii, which was a big... blockbuster CG epic that went nowhere at the box office. Vampire Academy, which Mac reviewed for us, and he didn't really appreciate it all that much. And then we talked about this, I think last week or a week before, Doctor Who, Enemy of the World, which was another one of those series that was found in a TV station in Nigeria. So that one's well worth seeking out from the Patrick Troughton era. At Redbox this week, Ben Stiller's Secret Life of Walter Mitty, Kevin Hart and Ice Cube in Ride Along, The Nut Job, which my nephew said is an animated movie. My nephew said he did not laugh at once. My nephew laughs at everything. I'll tell you something. Keeping on the Zac Efron track, That Awkward Moment is at Redbox this week. And then I, Frankenstein with Aaron Eckhart, which Dave Johnson says, do not waste your time watching ever.
Okay.
New things to Netflix this week. Star Trek Into Darkness, which I recommend you do not watch either because it sucks out loud.
Yes.
But I'm sure Benedict Cumberbatch fans will be happy to see him play a bad guy. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. Freebirds, which my nieces and nephews said was hilarious. This is about the turkeys that time travel to try and stop the first Thanksgiving from ever happening. Frozen Ground.
So, turkeys, yes. Squirrels, no.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Frozen Ground, which is a thriller starring Nick Cage and John Cusack. And then here's an interesting, it's a documentary called Dear Mr. Watterson, about the creation and success of Calvin and Hobbes. So I'm going to add that one to my queue.
Yeah.
Because the art of the comic strip, I think, has completely died out.
Yes.
So, over at Hulu, remember the contest we ran last week about One Direction?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is part one. One Direction I forget what the subtitle is, but part one of that two-part documentary is available on Hulu this week. Other music documentaries this week, Dierks Bentley's documentary called Riser.
Oh.
And then an Elvis Presley doc called From Beginning to End. And then continuing Hulu's trend to offer you movies starring familiar names that you've never heard of, Christopher Walken and Willem Dafoe in The Rose Hotel.
All right, then.
Yeah. All right, that's all I've got for physical and streaming media.
Okay, well, a lot more finales on TV this week. And then some new stuff and some stuff coming back, too. Mm. Monday, Bones finale on Fox. On Sci-Fi, it's Warehouse 13 series finale. But then The Bachelorette's back on ABC. Yeah. And we have a special, the Maya Rudolph show.
Oh.
It's a variety show.
Shut up.
On NBC.
Good for her.
Yeah, so it's Maya, you know, she's being funny strong. And singing and, good. You know, the classic old stuff. So yeah. Usually we just get that at Christmas time. So this is a nice summer treat. Mm. Tuesday, Dancing with Stars finale on ABC, Voice finale on NBC, Supernatural finale on CW. But then CBS has a couple new specials. Judge Judy Primetime.
What?
Seriously. I'm not lying. Is that not crazy? And then All-Star Salute to the Troops. So CBS Tuesday night. Wednesday, The Middle, Modern Family, and Mixology. All their finales on ABC. New show on ABC, Motive. Is on, and then Survivor finale CBS, Revolution, SVU, Chicago PD finales on NBC, American Idol finale on Fox, and the Americans finale on FX. Thursday, Last Comic Standing is back on NBC for the summer. Gang Related, which is a new cop show on Fox, and Labyrinth, which is a new miniseries on CW. It's actually a British miniseries. It's about a 13th century teen who must protect the secret of the Holy Grail. So it sounded ridiculous, and then I found out it was actually British. I'm like, oh, that might be okay. Friday, already, I can't believe it's here, the Hannibal season finale on NBC, and this is going to be game changer. I am sure, because we saw a clip of it at the beginning of the season.
Well, it's Brian Fuller, so he loves to pull the rug out of people, out from under people.
So we'll see. Sunday is the Mad Men partway through the season finale.
No, they're doing that again, huh?
That mid-season is split in two. This final season split in two. So the first half of the season is over on Sunday on AMC. Yeah. Sunday night, PBS is going to be airing National Memorial Day concert. And then HBO is airing The Normal Heart.
Yes.
Which will break yours. Mm-hmm. Sure. But that Sunday night, for those of you with HBO, you are going to want to check that out.
Cool.
Music this week, not tons of stuff that I found interesting, except a couple oldies coming back in a new way. Something Else for Everybody by Devo. Mm. It's a compilation of some of their early demos.
Yeah.
And some newer stuff that just hasn't been released.
Yep.
That's cool. And then The Joker Live.
Steve Miller?
And
wow.
It's the 40th anniversary of the Joker album.
Holy crap.
So they are releasing live versions of all the songs.
Again, one of the best live concerts I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. He is amazing. I've seen him a couple times.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Yeah, so that is out in music this week. And books, Jonathan Kellerman, who's probably my favorite author, one of his books called The Web came out a few years ago, but they actually went and created a graphic novel of it.
Interesting.
So it's The Web, the graphic novel.
Cool.
That is out in nonfiction this week. Brunette Ambition, Leah Michelle.
Yo, brother.
So it's part like kind of memoir and part like, you know, hips, whatever.
What is she, like 20-something? She needs a memoir?
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's just if you want to live your life like her.
Ugh.
There you go. Toni Braxton has a memoir called Unbreak My Heart.
Hmm.
Is out. And then Matt Berman, who was one of the directors for George Magazine.
Remember that
magazine? So the book is called JFK Jr., George and Me, a memoir.
Hmm.
So if you're JFK Jr. fan or political fan,
yeah,
I'm gonna check that out. In theater news this week, it's something that's not going to happen for almost a year, but it's big enough news to talk about.
What?
Kristen Chenoweth
Ooh.
Is going to be in the Broadway revival of On the 20th Century.
I don't know that show.
It's next February.
Hmm.
So it's going to be at the Roundabout Theater Company, but it stars her and Peter Gallagher.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. So that is something, you know, big enough to, you know, kind of pencil in your calendar now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very cool.
All right. Well, the filmmaking industry is mourning the loss of legendary cinematographer Gordon Willis today, whose work with Francis Ford Coppola on the Godfather trilogy and then Woody Allen's almost entire first portion of his career, from Annie Hall in Manhattan to Zelig in Purple Rose of Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the films he did like Clute and All the President's Men and Presumed Innocent.
Wow.
Highly influential. The look of 70s films has a lot to do with Gordon Willis.
Okay.
He was 82 years old. Bizarre situation developed with legendary top 40 DJ and cartoon voiceover artist Casey Kasem this week. So his daughter, I believe, mm-hmm. was reporting him missing.
Right.
His current wife, Jean Kasem, who was on Cheers for a while. She played Carlos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Carlos' ex-husband's new wife.
Yes.
The Tortellis.
Yes.
And then they had their own show, the Tortellis, right?
For like a season. The two of them have been together forever.
Yeah.
But apparently she's one of those that keeps him away from his first family.
He has dementia.
Yeah.
And they're married, so she has, you know, control over assets and, you know, care for him and stuff. But she, like, supposedly won't let his kids see him.
Yeah.
From, you know, previous relationship that's... So they don't know what's going on with him, and then they weren't able to get in touch with him and see him. And so, yeah, they reported him missing.
And then it turns out that mm-hmm. he was found alive and well up in Washington State on vacation.
Well, not, I don't know, it's like a treatment thing. Okay. I mean, I don't think he goes on vacation because he's kind of not quite there.
Yeah, and he can't speak, I guess. Whatever disease he has, it limits his vocal... So,
there was a lot of where he was, and it was like alternative treatment kind of stuff. So he's okay, but and I think his kids didn't think he was, you know, like runaway gone.
Right.
Just that they didn't know where he was.
Yeah.
And that he's okay and what's going on. Yeah. So it's a really sad family situation.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of it has to do with money as well. So it's disturbing. Michael Jackson did the moonwalk to his newly released single Slave to the Rhythm at the Billboard Music Awards last night.
Yes.
Via holographic projection. I can't talk today.
Yeah.
So they had live dancers.
Maybe she's saying those specific words.
Yeah.
Your brain's having a hard time with.
I guess so. But they did this with Tupac not too long ago.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he, quote, performed.
Right.
Yep. All right.
Oprah, the Oprah, who
yes.
is now cementing herself as the queen of opportunists after her Lindsay Lohan reality series, which wasn't really a reality series. It was just kind of a series of Lindsay talking about her life. So immediately after Michael Sam was drafted by the St. Louis Rams and became the NFL's first openly gay player, Oprah goes and announces a new reality series on her network.
Yes. Which Michael Sam has now said, maybe not.
Yeah, because the NFL and his new team and his teammates are saying, what the fuck?
Right.
So Oprah has decided to kind of postpone this series for a while.
Yeah, you think?
Dark Blood, which was the film River Phoenix was working on when he died of a drug overdose outside of the LA nightclub, the Viper Room, is finally getting a release. Director George Slusser was ordered to destroy the film by the insurance company, who sued and won, following a lengthy legal battle. But George held on to all of the source material, and was able to finish the film. And it screened at the 2013 Berlin Film Festival.
Okay.
And he's now signed a deal with Lionsgate to pick up the rights for a streaming release.
Oh, all right.
So I'll be curious to see how it goes, because he was heavily under the influence of all sorts of things when he was filming this movie, so...
Yeah, and of course he didn't finish filming it.
No, he did not.
So how did they, make
we'll
that
work? Yeah. AT&T attempts to one-up Comcast's Time Warner purchase by purchasing DirecTV.
Yes.
Conflicting reports put the deal somewhere between $50 and $70 million. And, of course, this is going to go before the SEC and a bunch of other legal entities before it becomes official.
But this figure it out somehow to make it work.
And this kind of all syncs up with what's going on with the FCC in terms of net neutrality, where these cable companies want to charge more money to have premium stuff released as opposed to some of the smaller stuff. So people are finding their Netflix connections aren't great during network primetime stuff because the networks feel that you should be watching cable TV and not streaming media.
Yep.
Oh, this is so ugly.
Yeah.
You can, there is a push out. If you look up for net neutrality on the web, there's a push to connect to the FCC and send your messages to support the fact that the internet should be a free. It is a public utility. It should not be controlled by corporate big business. And it's your opportunity to let them know that.
Yes.
Harrison Ford has been offered to reprise his role as hard-boiled cop Rick Deckard in Ridley Scott's sequel to Blade Runner.
Yep.
So outside of Han Solo, which he is coming back to do for Episode 7, and Indiana Jones, which Steven Spielberg says he wants to make another movie, this is Ford's most recognizable and appreciated role. So it'll be interesting to see. And I guess the script is supposed to be pretty damn good. And then David Lynch's ultimate edition of Twin Peaks comes to Blu-ray in July with more than 90 minutes of unseen footage that ties the events of the prequel film Fire Walk With Me to his iconic two-season series.
Wow.
Yeah. So this has been rumored for the past year to be in the works, and Lynch himself was personally involved in making sure that all of this stuff lays out exactly the way he wants to and the story he wants to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I have ever seen Fire Walk With Me.
No?
I don't think I ever watched the movie.
Okay, I did.
It was Chris Isaac, right? Plays the FBI...
Oh, yeah. See, it's so long ago, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Not the specifics.
And it's not everybody from the series, but there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it kind of tells what happens to Laura Palmer in the lead up to where they find her dead at the opening.
She had more of a role than, laying there wrapped in plastic.
Yeah. She's dead, wrapped in plastic. Sorry. All right, that's all I've got for news this week.
Okay. Well, I should next week be telling you all the details about the Kimye wedding.
Oh, brother.
Because supposedly it's happening this Saturday. And everybody's going to Paris, but the rumors are it's actually going to happen at the Palace of Versailles.
What?
That they're actually going to get married at the Palace of Versailles.
Ugh. Somewhere Marie Antoinette is spitting in...
Right. So, of course, everybody's already making with the let them eat cake wedding jokes kind of thing. So we'll see if she actually says that at the wedding. I will let you know next week.
Wow. Can you imagine how much it would cost to rent Versailles for a wedding?
Yeah, it's going to be crazy expensive.
That's right. Ryan Seacrest will pay for it all.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, so we'll have the scoop next week.
All right. Do we have a contest for this week?
We do. Which, you mentioned the film earlier, so.
Oh.
Vampire Academy.
Oh. Well, don't.
Max didn't like it, but maybe you guys
maybe
will.
Maybe you will. And this happens to be our 500th contest.
That's crazy.
Yes. And we have given away over 5,000 prizes.
Go us.
In 15 years.
We're so nice to you guys.
We are.
Wow. We are. But Vampire Academy, it's based on a book series.
Yep.
Rachel Mead's book series, and it's a boarding school for peaceful vampires and whatever.
It's a horror comedy kind of, yeah.
Sure, your teens into it, but Anchor Bay and the Weinstein Company are giving away some copies of that for you guys.
Very cool.
at our site.
All right. Well, as always, thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com, for listening to our podcast at DVDverdictPresents.com, and for checking out the news at DailyVerdict.com. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
I'm glad we're on this one-way street, just you and I. I'm never going to say goodbye.